Love to hear testimonies, what God is doing in everyone's life. It's good to have you back tonight and here in our service. We're going to finish up tonight, Lord willing, with the life of Joseph. We're not in, when you come there, I want you to go to chapter 45 in the book of Genesis. I would suggest that we label this chapter, this message today, the power of forgiveness. It's a tremendous thing, the power of forgiveness. I want to deal with some thoughts here. I want you to notice here as we think about that. Forgiveness, when you come to chapter 45, I just want to read first of all the first three verses. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, "I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" And his brother could not answer him, for they were terrified. That's what the word troubled here at his presence, because they knew that this man had the power, because of who he was and the position he had, to just snap his fingers and have them all killed. But that's not what we find here. I want you to notice forgiveness, and I hope that we all understand forgiveness. Forgiveness, first of all, expresses emotion. I've not in my life ever done something to somebody that without expressing that emotions in my heart and often outwardly, because if I need to make things right. I want you to notice it expresses emotion. Forgiveness is forfeiting your right to hurt someone because they hurt you. Understand that. And that's very key to understand that. Look there, if you will, in verse 1. There's everything in the Bible has purpose and is there because God put it there. Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And then he cried, and he noticed these words, "He caused every man to go out from me." Forgiveness is a private affair. It doesn't involve other people unless those people are involved in the act that needs to be dealt with. There are exceptions to this. What I mean is, when I was in one of the churches that I pastored, we had three previous pastors who had caused some tremendous problems in that church. And matter of fact, they lost 70 people because of those problems that were fighting among these three men. And the week before I left there, God laid on my heart to call one of those men. And when I called him, told him that what the condition of the church, and he needed to make things right, and the other two men. And he told me, "I've been waiting on this call, expecting this call." And those three men came before the church and asked their forgiveness, because it was a public thing in which they had created the atmosphere. Therefore, it was a public thing. They had them to correct the problem. And they hugged each other. They got right with each other. It was a victorious day. It was one of the benefits of being in the interim. And somebody said to me later, said, "Boy, you're pretty brave to do that." I said, "Hey, the worst thing they could do was fire me. I was leaving anyway, so what made the difference?" But no, seriously, God was in that, and I thank the Lord for that. But we find he asked them to leave because forgiveness must be private. Forgiveness is forfeiting your right to hurt others, and one way you can hurt others is when you're making things right, you include people that are not involved in it. So he excluded those people. Forgiveness is also full of love and emotion. It is full of that. Look there in verse 2. "And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it." He was so emotional about this reunion that is about to take place. It certainly... It had the heart of God. It was not cold. It certainly had God's heart and mind here. he cried. He wept so loudly that they heard him in probably the next buildings or two as he. So forgiveness not only forfeits your right to hurt others, but it is all full of love and emotion. And I think thirdly, forgiveness is finding what you lost. What did he lose? Look there also in verse 3. And Joseph said unto brethren, I am Joseph. Is my father yet alive? He had lost that relationship with his father, whom he loved dearly, his relationship with his other brothers as well. And the brothers were there. But how's dad? And God was going to restore that wonderful relationship that went on before all this broke loose. And I tell you today, that's what forgiveness does. It restores everything as though it was before the act of sin took place when forgiveness is found. So it expresses emotion. Number two, it forfeits, it erases judgment. It erases judgment. Look there in verse 3 there. And Joseph said unto his brethren, again, I read this to you, does my father yet live? And they could not answer him, for he was troubled at his presence. Then look there at the next. And Joseph said to his brothers, come near, come near. Those may well be some of the sweetest words, those four words, come near to me. In other words, it also was restoring the relationship. Notice there, notice the word, to be terrified. If in the previous verse there, in verse 3 there, again, I brought it up and I bring it up to you, that he were troubled at his presence. I thought of that. Most people would rather go to the judgment seat instead of the mercy seat. I tell you tonight, if there's a lot of people that have hurt you, have hurt me, and we just want to say, Lord, judge them. That's the judgment seat. That's not God. God would rather that we go to the mercy seat than the judgment seat. And in the mercy seat, that is showing mercy to those that deserve to be punished. I thought of that there, as Joseph was facing the brethren that day and making things right with them and he with them, and he erases that by simply showing his love for them and that he had forgiven them. It not only erases judgment, it extends the right hand of fellowship. Come near to me. Come near to me. Notice those four words there in verse 4. Come near to me. I think those are the sweetest words this side of heaven. I am so glad that when I am sinning against God and I make things right, what is God's response when I repent? What is his response? Come near to me. Come near to me. Restore that fellowship with me. And that's the way it ought to be, not only on a horizontal level, that's the way it ought to be on a vertical level among God's people. Come near to me. We're gonna forget the past. We're just going to move on. And how God wants us all to feel that way. So forgiveness expresses emotion. He cried aloud. He erases judgment. He went to the mercy seat and not the judgment seat. He extends the right hand of fellowship. Come near to me. But it also exalts God in his sovereignty. I want you to notice something here. There are three times Joseph makes a statement here that I don't want you to miss there. You find it in verse 5, you find it in verse 7, and you find it in verse 8. And I just want you to see this. In verse 5, he deals with God's providence. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. God used your sin to save your life. God used your sin to save others. Hallelujah for that. Whereas you meant it to be a curse, God turned the whole thing into a blessing. Why? Because of God's providence. You notice that I often have to meditate on those. We said God was in it. God allowed it. So here we see God's providence, but notice also the second time you see it in verse 7. God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives from a great deliverance. Not only God's providence, but God's preservation. Listen, if I was not here where I'm at now, you would all die. God allowed this so you would be preserved. Isn't that a wonderful attitude when somebody... I often wonder how we react when people do hurt us. First, we need to see God's providence. God allowed it. God put that person in your life. Because God knows you need that lesson and I need it. And God's preservation. God was doing something wonderful through that. And thirdly, we find here God's provision. Look at verse 8. So now it was not you that sent me, but God. Those two wonderful words, but God. I want you to notice something. You need to put God in the center of everything that happens in your life. Understand, every person that comes into your life, good or bad, I like the good ones better than the bad ones, that I have to do. God brings people into my life, and they're kind of an irritating source. You ever have them irritate you? And then you wonder how in the world you're going to love that person. Let me remind you of something. I'm convinced today that Joseph had a tremendous prayer life. I believe the best way to handle those who hurt you is to pray for them more than once. I have a list of people in my life that I pray for daily, that have hurt me. You know why? That causes me to release the love in my soul for them, and that helps me to understand that, listen, but by the grace of God, I would not be forgiven for what I have done to God. So forgiveness exalts God's sovereignty and His providence. Hey, Joseph is saying, God sent me. Second time, God sent me. Third time, God sent me. Hey, fellas, I got news for you. It wasn't you. It was God that did it. Because God is sovereign. Forgiveness not only expresses emotion, not only forgives, erases judgment, extends the right hand of fellowship, exalts the sovereignty of God. But let me say this, forgiveness also expects a change. If somebody who hurt me and he comes to me for forgiveness and we get together and we hug and we just enjoy each other, he certainly needs to change. And I'll tell you what, the person who was hurt changes. I like this. Look there in verse 24 and look there, it's you jump ahead a little bit. And now his brothers are there. He's getting together with them. They're having a tremendous time of fellowship. And then he sends them away to go home and get dad. But I want you to underline a particular verse. It's verse 24. Then I'll translate that for you. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that ye fall not out by the way. You know what he's saying, fellows? Change. I had a feeling these brothers, when they were there in prison there, I have a feeling they were arguing with one another. It was your fault, Reuben says to Judah. Judah said, no, I saved their life. It was your fault. Simeon says, I know you. I wish you ought to listen. I can't almost hear them. I think Joseph overheard them. Understand, they didn't know what Joseph was speaking, because he was speaking Egyptian, but he knew Hebrew well. And he heard every word. And he knew what kind of brothers they were. Now, fellas, change. Change. Now, on your way home, back to dad, to pick dad up and bring him here, make sure that things are different than what they used to be. I tell you, God wants us to change. I pray regularly, Lord, help me to change. Help me to change. That's a good prayer to pray. Lord, help me to change. How easy it is. Lord, help my wife to change. Help my children to change. Help this to change. Help me to change, Lord. I'm the problem. What a life we would live. It would be far different if we do those things. When I got married to that wonderful girl there, 59 years, I was barely saved, just saved. I was from a terrible background, as I've already told you, and I had to work on many years of changing. I'm still changing. By the way, if you stop changing for the better, you're in trouble. Just keep on changing. Boys, as you travel down the road, it's going to be a long haul back home. Make sure you don't fall out among yourselves and start arguing again. Remember, everything's right now. Let's keep it that way and rejoice in the Lord. Now, as I look here and as I close here tonight, I see the power of forgiveness and I understand what God was doing in their life. But let me just give you 7 principles that you can learn from this book, I think are absolutely phenomenal principles for all of us. So let me give these to you as we realize Joseph. We'll wind up with the 50th chapter here as Joseph has one more round with his brothers. Well, you know, they're a tough lot. They're tough boys. And Joseph is going to try to help them get along in life and do the things they need to. But let me give you 7 principles that you can learn from the life of Joseph, I hope will help us all. Principle number 1, you must have a cause greater than yourself in life. Joseph learned to have a cause greater than himself. Wouldn't he ask the question here tonight? You ask yourself the question, why am I here? Why did God create me? He created you because he has a mission for your life. What is that mission? I think it's threefold. Number 1, to have a voice that speaks for God. There are people who need Jesus Christ that only you could probably lead them to Christ. You could show them the way. God does that. Why are you here? To be a voice for God, to be a voice for Him. And why are you here? To demonstrate the value of staying in the will of God. Have you ever thought for a moment that if Joseph would have walked out of the will of God, how about Potiphar's wife? If he would have had that adulterous affair with her, he never would have been prime minister. And if he had not been prime minister, he could not have saved so many because of the famine. He not only then served as a voice for God, and he served before those fellows in prison, before Potiphar, and certainly before the king of Egypt and others. He was a voice, and he showed the value of staying in the will of God. Because he was in the will of God, lives were saved. And he became a vessel showing the heart of God. What is the heart of God? One word, forgiveness. He demonstrated as a vessel to show that God forgives. No greater demonstration I can find in Scripture to serve to show the Lord Jesus Christ willing to forgive us of our sins. So first of all, you've got to have a cause greater than yourself. Why are you here? You're here to be a vessel to show the living God. You're to show the value, how valuable it is to stay in the will of God. And you certainly are to be a vessel to show the heart of God when you forgive other people. Please learn to forgive. Then, secondly, not only we must have a cause greater than ourselves, but our first duty in life is not to find our freedom, but to find our master. People today are wanting to break away from authority. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. I'm reminded of the young man in our church in Charleston who would say to people, I'm graduated from high school. I'm getting out of here. I'm tired of everybody telling me what to do, including my parents, including the teachers, and really, including God. So he did most intelligent thing he could ever do. He joined the United States Marine Corps. I think you got the message, didn't you? You know, we're not here to find our freedom. We're here to find our master. Because someone rules over your life. Someone rules over my life. It can be my flesh. It can be the world. It can be the devil with Saul, we talked about this morning. But let it be Jesus Christ. Learn today, your first duty is not to find your freedom. It's to find your master. And how many times down through my years I've led people to Jesus Christ who were trying to find their master or trying to find their freedom, and only when they found Jesus Christ as their master were they free. I'm free tonight because I have a master. If you have a master tonight, you're free if it be Jesus Christ. And thirdly, do not allow trials to hide the presence of God. Oftentimes, when we go through trials, we have that tendency to allow the presence of God to be hid. They'll hide our... Listen, you're either focusing on the problem or you're focusing on the person of Jesus Christ. Turn with me back a few pages in the book of Genesis in the chapter 39. You remember that? I just want to remind you of certain things in Joseph. Look there in verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph of chapter 39. Note that because Joseph there sensed the presence of God. Then you find it again in verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph. This was a time when that wicked woman tried to catch him to have an adulterous affair. He winds up in prison. And while you find the third time in verse 23, the keeper of the prison looked not know anything that was under his hand. Would you get these words? Because the Lord was with him. Three times. God was with him. You know why? Because his focus was on the person of God and not the problems that were surrounding him. And I will tell you, if you're not careful, trials will cover up the presence of God where you don't even sense that he's there. When we drove up here this morning, we were looking how cloudy it was, and it was just kind of dreary looking. Marilyn says, the sun's not shining. I said, oh, yes, it is, honey. But the clouds have covered up the sun. And your problems will cover up S-O-N, the Son of God's presence. And that's a terrible experience in our lives. So we recognize here, thirdly, that the trials will cover up the presence of God if not careful. So do not allow trials to hide his wonderful, wonderful presence. Let him shine through. Let the Son of God shine through in your life. And then fourthly, learn to adjust your life to the circumstances you're facing. Learn to adjust them. What do I mean by that? Look there at chapter 40 for a moment. I think there's a good example here of what I'm trying to say in chapter 40. Here's Joseph, he's in prison. He's been through a lot. If I go to the book of Psalms, I recognize it says his feet were in fetters. He was suffering at times until God arranged for that keeper and his sovereignty to kind of make it easy for Joseph a little bit. He'd suffer. How long he was in prison, I do not know. But would you come down here at verse 7? He will meet the baker and the butler in that chapter, as you're familiar with. And he says this phenomenal statement in verse 7, one I hope you will not forget. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the war of his Lord's house, saying, would you get these words? Wherefore look you so sad today? To me, when I think of that, I think, Joseph, wait a minute here. How come you're not sad? Because he learned to adjust his life to the circumstances that he was in. He learned to say, this is God's will for me right now. I remember the circumstances that we had to face when our handicapped daughter and her sister died. And I remember so much for about 11, 12 years, somewhere like that. We did our best to raise her, did our best. But I want to tell you something. I'll forget the day when I saw Marilyn coming in carrying our handicapped daughter because she had never walked a day in her life. And I saw Marilyn bend over and I said, Lord, she can't do this anymore. For 12 long years, she did everything she could for that handicapped girl. But I know that we had to do something. And I will forget when I found a place for Christina, a good home. We put her in there in California, and we had to readjust. We had to adjust to new circumstances. I went into a depression. I mean, I literally went down all the way, and that was sin on my part. But Chrissy had become such a part of her life, but I knew that she had to be in a place to protect my wife. And we put Christina in there, and I'll forget it. I couldn't adjust to it. And I know we'll forget that with Christmas, honey. You remember that? I said, Marilyn, I'm going to go get Christina. I picked her up an hour away, put her in our van. We thought, man, she will be so happy to be home. So glad. We brought her home. She was miserable, and we were miserable. We didn't understand why. She was changed. And I put her in the van on Christmas Eve, took her back up there, and as soon as she spotted that place, her little room, she got in her wheelchair. As we put her in a wheelchair, she rolled herself down that hall, and she turned her wheelchair around and went, I'm back home. I'm making sense to you? We had to adjust to the circumstances of life. All of us need to learn, if we haven't, to adjust to whatever God puts in our life. Because you see, it will rob you of the joy. Here he says, wherefore look you so sad? Well, excuse me, fellas. Why are you so sad? Well, we had these dreams. You know about that. Why wouldn't Joseph be sad? Why wasn't he sad? After all, his feet was in fetters. He was in pain at times. He was in prison because he shouldn't have been there. Yes, he should, because God put him there. You know why? Because he learned to adjust to his circumstances. There are thousands and thousands of people, including some Christians, during this pandemic, can't handle life, so they're committing suicide. They refuse to adjust. I say to you to adjust to your circumstances. We got a call from our daughter the other day to remind us that after, 2.5 years, we're going to have a kitchen again. That mudslide took that kitchen down, literally wiped it out. I think I mentioned that to you. They had that lamp, that mudslide. God supplied the money and everything about it, and she's so excited. But for 2.5 years, they cooked out on the porch. Now we can shake our head. Yeah, they learned to adjust. We learn to adjust. If you don't, you lose your joy. And there ought to be a sign across us to remind the world, the flesh and the devil, our joy ain't for sale. We need it desperately. Number five, it is not only have a cause greater than ourselves. Our first duty is to find our master and not our freedom. Do not allowing trials to hide the presence of God. Learn to adjust to your circumstances. But number five, leave the past in the past so you can go forward in the future. I was thinking over there as he named his children. Remember Manasseh? Remember what his name means? Forgetfulness. What a name. Forgetfulness was Manasseh's name. And Joseph had learned to forgive. Get the past. What's the second son? Ephraim. You remember that boy? His name means fruitfulness. And there can be no fruit in your life if you're still living in the past. Don't do it. Now, you do not live in the past. It's okay for the past to live in you. But that I mean is to learn from the mistakes and the blessings of the past are important. I like the past to think about it, but I'm not going to live there. I'm tired of people talking about the good old days, which are a combination of dissatisfaction with the present and poor memories. Just be thankful. These are the good days. Because these are the days that God has allowed you to live in your life. It's best to leave the past in order to live in the present and getting ready for the future. Number six, choose God's ways of dealing with your sins. There's only one way. These brothers, there are three ways you can deal with your sins, but only one of them is God's way. They all begin with R. It's not reading, writing, and arithmetic. First, there's regret. Turn to chapter 42, if you will, please. 42, verse 7. Here is the brothers before Joseph. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but they made himself strange of them. Underline that. They pointed out they could not, they regret, these boys regretted everything they did to Joseph at this point. Just regretted it. But Joseph was a stranger to them. And you may have sin in your life and you may regret it, but that is not going to restore your fellowship with God. As it didn't with Joseph. Joseph didn't. He just said, he acted like as a stranger. I don't want God to be my stranger. He's my God. The second way is remorse. Look at verse 21. Here they are, the first time before Joseph. They don't know it's his brother. And he's strange to them. Then he spoke roughly into them. By the way, your conscience will speak roughly into you and to me when it's just regret. Then I find remorse. That's the second R. Look in verse 21. They said, wondering there, we are verily guilty concerning our brother. They didn't know this was Joseph was his brother, but their the conscience. In that we saw, they're going back. Here we have remorse. They're going back some 20-something years ago. They can see Joseph's face when they put him in that pit, the anguish of his soul. And if they had it to do over again, there would not only be regret, remorse. Oh, we wouldn't do it. There's only the third word that gets you out of the problems, and that's the word called repentance. Repentance. With that in mind, go to the last chapter of the book of Genesis. And as you go there, chapter 50. We come over to that chapter there, and as I look at it, look there in verse 15. This is after the father dies. the boys now are with Joseph in Egypt, and the boy's dad have died. Verse 15, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said one another, "Peradventure, Joseph will peradventure hate us." Underline that. Oh my, Joseph's brothers are going back and they're still having a problem with repentance. And Joseph will remind them, look at verse 19. When they came to Joseph, let me pick up at verse 17. So they sent somebody to Joseph. Isn't that interesting? They don't go in person. We'll send a messenger. Called the doctrine of stupidity. So shall you say, verse 17, Joseph, forgive, I pray thee, now the trespass of thy brethren and their sin. Joseph has already done that. He's already done that. But I want you to notice, I'm going to combine this one, the seventh one. Because choose God's way of dealing is repentance. Fellas, if you've really repented of it, you're forgiven. But here's number seven. Learn to forgive yourself. These boys are still struggling with the sin because they have not learn the whole thing of forgiveness. You see, Joseph had forgiven, but I want to tell you today, when you and I sin as God's people, and we go to God, and we ask forgiveness, and we repent, but I found in my years of counseling, so many of God's people refuse to forgive themselves. They hang on to the sin. They hang on to the guilt. They hang on to a troubled heart. They hang on to misery. And I suggest to all of us today to learn that. Would you look there in verse 17 again? So shall say to Joseph, forgive, I pray you. They said, tell Joseph that the trespasses of thy brother and their sin, for they did and the evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy servant, the God of the Father. And Joseph wept when they spoke unto him. Now you ask yourself, why did Joseph weep? Because these boys hadn't gotten it. They still were living as though God had not forgiven them, and therefore they had not learned to forgive themselves. And the devil, very happy when you're holding sins over yourself that you haven't asked forgiveness, or you have and you're still hanging on to them. Please don't do that. Hallelujah for God's forgiveness tonight. That's the whole theme of the life of Joseph. And look at verse 18 and 19, and brethren also went, fell down before his face, and he said, behold, we be thy servants. I mean, they're really repenting there. What's that show you in verse 19, verse 18? That maybe they hadn't fully repented. Maybe it was remorse. Maybe it was regret. But as they fell before Joseph, that's repentance. And they're confessing there, in the previous verse there, that they had sinned against him. By the way, I find this is the first time the boys really got honest with Joseph and asked forgiveness. When you do that, look at verse 20. Look what Joseph says here. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Listen, I want you to know, what you did was wrong, but God was in control of everything. So as we close this book tonight, be careful with your sins. Only repentance will take care of it. And when you refuse to take care of it, guilt will capture your mind. And it will create mistrust. These boys mistrusted. He said, I don't believe Joseph could really forgive us. It also will contradict their God's love. Oh, tonight, we all sinners, aren't we? Saved by the grace of God. We'll sin. My comment to you tonight as we close in the life of Joseph, remember what forgiveness is all about. I'm here tonight, you're here tonight, because we have a forgiving God. Amen? Amen. Father, I pray tonight as we close the service in the life of Joseph. What a lesson. Learn the meaning of true repentance. Learn the meaning of dealing there with guilt that needs to be dealt with. Father, tonight as we think tonight as the thought here of those lessons we can learn, may we learn them tonight. And as we close our service tonight in a song, God is speaking to your heart, and anything that God is dealing with you about tonight,